The Infrastructure Show is brought to you by Wyss Janney Elsner Associates, engineers, architects, and materials scientists, solving complex problems in contemporary and historic structures since 1956. Learn more at wje.com.
Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University.
And I'm your co-host, Marian Sowers, filling in today for Tom Herman.
The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it.
The Ohio River Bridges Project is a $2.6 billion undertaking involving the construction of two bridges in the Louisville metropolitan area, a metro area that includes Kentucky and Indiana with about 1.4 million people. One of the largest transportation projects in the country, the Ohio River Bridges Project demonstrates impressive cooperation between the two states involved.
Here today to tell us about the project is Ron Huestis, who's project manager with the Indiana Department of Transportation. Ron, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Good morning.
Could you tell us first, just in general, about this Ohio River Bridges project, what you're building and why you need to build these bridges?
Well, I guess first, the need is to complete the cross-river links around the Louisville metropolitan area between Louisville and southern Indiana and to reduce traffic congestion in the area. So there's two real purposes for that. It's also going to improve safety in the interchange within Louisville, where three major interstates meet within the downtown area.
And are you replacing existing bridges or adding new bridges?
We are adding new bridges. This is not, other than some standard land bridges, the new bridges across the Ohio are all new, not replacement.
What were the closest bridges to meet that need prior?
The existing I-65 bridge over the Ohio is the Kennedy Bridge. That has become the major point of congestion between the two cities. There is another interstate bridge downstream some 5 miles, the Sherman-Minton Bridge, which carries I-64 over the Ohio. The new bridge on the East End crossing will connect the loop, if you will, around the metropolitan area, and then the new downtown bridge will reduce significantly the congestion and safety issues on the downtown.
As I recall, there have been some structural issues on the Sherman-Minton Bridge?
Yes, there were a little over about a year and a half ago now. The bridge had to be closed for some repairs for a period of time, and that was done, and the Sherman-Minton is fully repaired at this point and open to traffic.
But that was a rehabilitation or restoration, not a replacement of major structure?
That's correct, yes.
So what's the status of the construction work right now on your project?
Well, construction on both the East End crossing and the downtown crossing started last June and July, respectively. And there's been significant progress on both crossings to date. On the East End crossing, which is the Indiana portion of the project, we've been working on the foundations in the river for the main span bridge over the Ohio, and also been working on the excavation to get down to the tunnel that's being constructed in Kentucky and to begin the actual tunnel excavation itself. Downtown has been working on their river foundations and also making progress on the new interchange in Louisville.
So far, you're not at the stage of having superstructure over the river.
No, that's still some ways off yet. That'll probably mostly take place during 2015-2016. The first step, of course, the downtown has more piers in the river than the East End has two main piers in the river. So the first step is to get those foundations completed, get them up out of the water, get the two towers constructed, and then we can begin some superstructure construction.
Are there any special construction challenges in the project?
Well, there's always challenges with construction. These are both utilizing within the procurements, a design-build type construction project. So both, I know that Indiana, we feel that the developer that we selected is fully capable of handling all the challenges. They have significant experience throughout the United States and the world, for that matter. The same with downtown. I know Kentucky's very pleased with the selection they made on the downtown. So, yes, there's challenges during construction, but nothing that's of the sort that our developers and contractors aren't prepared for.
Can you tell us what designs you're using for these bridges?
The two main bridges that are being built downtown and on the east end are both going to be cable-stayed structures. They're similar in appearance. Downtown uses H-towers. The east end has a convex diamond tower design. Both of them use exterior cable stays.
So are there different designers for the two bridges, different design contractors?
They are being, yes, two different teams are doing the work on downtown and the east end. There is some connection at a corporate level, but the teams that are involved are completely different.
Cable stayed seems to be kind of the standard for longer bridges. Is that what you're seeing in the industry?
Well, I think that you'll see cable stayed are becoming very economical structures for this medium to long span type structure. And if you get into a very long span, then you're back into a suspension type bridge. But for these medium to somewhat long span structures, I think the industry is finding that these are the very economical bridge.
And will the decks be segmental concrete box girders?
No. On the East End Crossing, there's a steel grillage superstructure that will have precast deck panels placed and then an overlay riding surface placed on that.
Is the design for the downtown bridge different?
It's similar to what ours is, but you would have to talk directly to Kentucky to confirm what their design is.
So has your department had experience building cable-stayed bridges before?
Well, in my experience with the department, this is the first one that Indiana has been responsible for directly. There was another cable-stayed structure that was built several years ago downstream between Indiana and Kentucky. Kentucky took the lead on that one. Indiana was involved also, but it was mainly Kentucky's lead on that bridge.
So as you describe it, the responsibilities for the two bridges are separated or allocated to the two states. You have the East End and Kentucky has the downtown. Have you had experience with that cross-state collaboration before?
Well, like I said, it was a few years ago that a cable-stayed structure was built several miles downstream from Louisville. They always involve cross-river coordination and communication. There's standing agreements between the two states on how the bridges are operated and maintained. But this is, in itself, very unique in that a bi-state development agreement was entered into. The two states really came together to make this project happen after it had been literally sitting on the drawing board for over 40 years.
So is there something about the context or the situation today that makes it easier or more essential for the states to collaborate to get these jobs done?
I think that both governors at the time, back in March of 2012, realized that if they didn't take action, it was likely this was going to sit for a very long time. And by splitting this between the downtown and the East End, instead of each state doing the work in their own state, that it really made sense and allowed each state to go after the type of procurement that best fit their strengths for their own state. So I think that's what makes this unique, is that the cooperation that took place in a very short period of time between two states, actually two different political parties, in order to make this happen.
We pause our podcast for a moment to thank our sponsor, WIS Janney Elsner Associates, engineers, architects, and material scientists who are solving problems throughout the built world. Visit their website at www.wje.com. Can you describe the design, build, finance, operate, and maintain concession? I understand that's a Walsh Construction.
Well, yes. Let me clarify that a little bit. There, Walsh Construction is probably the most recognizable name. They are a U.S. firm out of Chicago, Illinois. They are directly the design-build contractor for the downtown crossing. They are not the developer for the East End crossing, although they are involved as one of three members of the East End Crossing, WVB East End Partners. That's Walsh, Vinci, and Bilfinger. So that's where I need to clarify that, is that Walsh Construction is doing downtown as a standalone prime contractor for Kentucky. Walsh, Vinci, Bilfinger is the developer for the P3 contract that is doing the East End Crossing. I hope that clarifies that relationship a little bit.
It does. So it's not only that you have the same two states involved, but you have some overlap in the contractors between the bridges.
Yes, yes. Like I said, it's at the corporate level that there's the overlap. The Walsh Construction is involved in both crossings, but there's two completely separate management teams on the ground here, one for the downtown and one for the East End. And on the East End, they are not standalone. They are involved with Vinci and Bilfinger. And so that is the developer that has the responsibility for the design, build, finance, and operate, maintain P3 contract.
So am I correct in understanding that both of these bridges will be tolled?
Yes. That is not part of the project specifically, but the tolling will be done once the bridges are completed. So the P3 contract, however, does not include tolling as part of the scope of work. So it's not a true full concession. It's an availability payment, P3.
So does that mean that does Indiana DOT take the responsibility for making the availability payments?
That's correct. Indiana as a state takes responsibility for that. NDOT and Indiana Finance Authority are both involved in that. So on the Indiana side, as tolls are collected, they will be split evenly between both states, and both states will use their toll revenues to retire their debt or to make their availability payment.
So in that sense, the concessionaire doesn't take the revenue risk. It goes on the states.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. And again, like I said, it's not truly a full concession. It's an availability payment structure, and we're using a developer instead of a concessionaire.
So I assume that the forecasts have been made so that you have some reasonable expectation about the difference between the costs and revenues.
Yes. Oh, yes. There's been a significant study of that done, obviously, both for financing purposes and for the environmental impact statement. So,
does the arrangement that you have with the developer bring some advantages in terms of cost control or project delivery?
Well, yes, we think it was a very successful deal going this direction. The proposal by WVB was 23% below our estimate, and they also bid to open to traffic 8 months ahead of the required schedule. So we feel like that was very successful in the way that was proposed and the deal that Indiana ended up with.
And from what you see right now, is everything on schedule?
Yes, sir. We're moving along well.
I understand you're going to be doing all electronic tolling. Is that something new?
It's probably new to this area, but it's not new within the United States, as I'm finding out through discussions with other folks. That open road tolling, all electronic tolling, is becoming the standard. So it's new for this area, but it's not new throughout the states.
So we use the same toll mechanism that you're using on the Indiana Turnpike on the north?
It's similar, but again, this is all electronic open road tolling, so this is going to be a new update to that.
But I assume it'll be compatible with other electronic tolling mechanisms in the region?
Yes, ultimately it will be. There is a push by Federal Highway to have all toll systems interoperable by 2016.
Do you have a sense of what the public reaction has been to the idea of tolling the bridges? My recollection is it's not that common for Ohio River bridges to be tolled.
No, it's not at this point, but public reaction has, of course, been mixed. There are those who understand that this is the way the bridges are being financed, and they would not be built if it were not for going down this method of financing. So I think there's generally acceptance. There's a lot of questions about how it's going to take place, and those will be answered as we get closer to completion and open to traffic and the tolling actually begins.
I realize that this is a question that focuses on the Kentucky side, but you mentioned earlier the tunnel construction. My recollection is the tunnel is the access road to the bridge on the Kentucky side?
Yes, there's actually a significant amount of new roadway being built on both sides of the river up to the bridges on both the downtown and the East End crossing. But on the East End crossing, on the Kentucky approach, in order to make the connection on that end, there is about an 1,800-foot double-bore tunnel that's being constructed.
So what does it go under?
It goes under some historic property that is listed historic, which necessitated not doing an open cut and being able to tunnel under it. It was the best alignment out of many alignments that were considered during the NEPA process.
And when you talk about the additional roadways that are being built, they're part of the $2.6 billion overall program?
Yes, that's all part of it. It includes the interchange in downtown Louisville. It includes the reconstruction of a interchange in Indiana on the East End where 265, State Road 62, and Port Road intersect. That's where the new alignment will tie in at. So there's significant, what I would call, average construction in each state.
Well, Indiana's government has encouraged P3s, first the Indiana Toll and now this project. Do you expect Indiana will use similar P3 arrangements for future projects, or was this deal unique to the Ohio River Bridges project?
Well, Indiana has already selected another developer for another P3 project on the new alignment of I-69 that's coming up from southern Indiana. Section 5 of I-69 is a availability payment P3 structure. However, it's no tolling involved with that one. Indiana, along with Illinois, we're also in the process of working an Illiana corridor in the northwest part of the state, and that likely will be a P3 procurement also. Now, as far as the future on that, of course, I wouldn't want to predict what we'll do. That's up to a lot of other people, but I'm sure that Indiana will look at whatever procurement makes the best business sense.
Yes, it seems like everybody's going in this direction, but you're in the lead or close to being in the lead. Are there lessons that you've learned from this experience of collaborating with Kentucky and pulling this large project together that would be valuable for other states, even other municipalities or entities within states, as they go forward on such projects?
I'd say the lesson that Indiana and Kentucky have learned, and I think we learned it rather easily, was that you have to maintain communication and keep focused on what the overall project goal is. And we were able to do that and reach an agreement through the Bi-State Development Agreement that really defines the relationships and how we'll do our pieces of the project. That really has worked out well. As far as the P3 procurement, we had a well-defined scope. We feel that we allocated the risk to the right entities, the right parties, and that we met all the deadlines during the procurement phase. We received a lot of compliments from the proposers on meeting every deadline that we published.
So that's pretty impressive. Sounds like it's been a really good collaboration, and I think we can all look to what you're doing as a good example. When can we drive across these bridges?
You can drive across the East End Crossing on Halloween of 2016.
That sounds good. Well, and the other?
And the Downtown Crossing by the end of the year in 2016.
All right. Well, we'll put it on our calendars and hope to have that experience. Thank you very much for telling us about this interesting set of projects, Ron.
Well, you're welcome.
Glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.